Okay, we will ask the Lord to help us as we worship Him. Lord, I thank You for Your kindness and goodness to us, and I think sometimes, Lord, that we think singing and worshiping You is just not important. I mean, not that it's not important, but maybe we overlook the importance of it. Lord, we are supposed to worship You, tell You what You're worth. And You are worth everything, Lord, because You've saved us from our sins. You've saved us from the judgment that we should receive. And so telling You how worthy You are and what You're worth to us, we can do that by singing. That's part of worshiping You. So I just pray that we can do that and let You know just how much we love You and appreciate You. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this first song here, okay. I was thinking this. When you think of things that are opposite, you think of things that are like up and down, right? That's opposite. Up and down. Left and right. Hard and soft. John Elway and Tom Brady, right? They're completely opposite, right? Okay? But listen, here, this song, Meekness and Majesty, the greatest display of being opposite was done by Jesus on the cross. Because if you look at this, one, two, the third paragraph down, it says, "And as they crucify, praise, Father, forgive." It comes from Luke 22. It says, "And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified Him and the criminals, one on His right and one on His left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." See, that's the greatest act of opposite things ever. The God of the universe, the majestic one of the universe, becomes so meek that He allows the people He created to kill Him. They're pounding a nail in His hand, shoving a spear in His side. Forgive them. That's opposite, right? You can't get more opposite than that. The God of the universe letting His creation kill Him, right? That's very opposite. So let's just think about how He could have just been majestic and we would all be condemned. But we have a God that was willing to be so meek to go to a cross to die for us.
Lord,
Okay, this song here, it says in the chorus there, it says, "He sealed my pardon." And we know that the pardon that we receive is, it's not our sins are dismissed. Our sins are paid for by Jesus on the cross. Incomplete, they're completely forgiven, and we receive a pardon, right? And our sins are gone. But I was thinking about the sealed part. When you think about something that's sealed up, it's something that is protected, right? Like you got some leftovers, and you put them in the baggie, and you seal the thing at the top, and it seals them, it protects them. Or you put gold in a vault, and it's being sealed up in the vault, and it's protected. And I was thinking about, you know, God gives us, he seals our pardon and protects it. Why and how? I was thinking two different ways. One is he protects it from us. Like we would wreck it if it was up to us. I have an example. I remember my dad bought my son a John Elway rookie card, right? When he was like 8. And my dad, well, here, I got you this. And I'm like, I'll take that. I'm going to protect that, right? It's worth money. It's valuable. So I took it and I sealed it up and protected it because my son, he's 8. He's going to wreck it, right? That's how we are. If we were in charge of our pardon and God didn't seal it up and protect it, we would ruin it. Two, he protects it from Satan. See, Satan would just love to wreck our pardon, right? He prowls around. Remember, he prowls around looking for something, somebody to devour. See, if God didn't do that, Satan would find a way to wreck it for us, right? So let's just be thankful that God protects our pardon. He preserves it and holds it until the day of judgment. Okay, this song, Revive Us Again, I was looking at it, I'm thinking, why do we need a song like this? Why do we have to sing or have this thought about, I need to be revived, right? And, well, it's pretty simple. I'm sure you've all experienced that our Christian walk can be kind of up and down, right? Hot, cold, right? And I remember Thomas Montgomery, the missionary down in Mexico a few years ago, he did a sermon about this, and he said like this, when you become a Christian, at first you think the Christian walk is just like this, up, up, up. He goes, but you soon find out it's not like that. It's kind of like this. And he gave all these examples of people in the Bible, how their walk was like this through the Christian life. And I thought this too, I don't know if you guys ever think like this, but I'm thinking they're sitting there thinking, Thomas Montgomery experiences this? Like you think of him, he's like this great missionary guy, and nothing ever goes wrong with his Christian walk. It's just, choo. Well, he experiences that too. And I thought, wow, it can happen to the best of us, right? So I was thinking, like, how do we get revived again? This song is like, God revive me, and he does. But we have to do our part in this sense. Like, think about a campfire. You start the fire, you get it all going, and man, it's roaring in the beginning, right? It's going good. But then if you kind of ignore it, and you don't pay attention to it, You don't stoke it with some more wood. It just kind of fizzles out, right? Just some little red coals in there and that's it. You got to keep stoking the fire with wood. Well, our Christian walk can be like that. And what we need to do to be rekindled is we've got to stoke our heart and our mind with the Word of God. We got to keep feeding the fire, feed our heart, feed our mind with the Word of God. We got to continue to pray and talk to God. We got to continue to seek out His will, not our own, His will, right? Because if we don't do those things, God's not going to revive us, right? We have to be obedient to God and His will and then ask Him, God, revive me. And He will do it, right? We don't want to be a smoldering Christian, right, where there's nothing going on. We want to be on fire for the Lord. We have a great Savior who will help us, and we can be revived by obeying Him and calling on Him, and then we can be on fire for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that You would forgive us, Lord, for our weakness and our flesh and how it sometimes controls us, Lord, and we become kind of like a smoldering fire, a little smoky thing, Lord, instead of being on fire for You. Lord, forgive us of that. And Lord, I just pray that when we're on fire for You, Lord, that we're praising You and we're grateful. But I pray, Lord, that when we are in a downtime, Lord, that we would stop and just examine ourselves and repent. Lord, we need to read Your word. We need to pray. We need to stoke our hearts with things of You and Your will and not our will, Lord. So I just pray that You would help us to do that, Lord, so that we can be a light in a dark world. A fire is light, and we can be a light in this dark world by being on fire for You. So I pray that You would help us to do that, Lord. And I pray now, Lord, You'd be with Dorian and just use him as Your mouthpiece and teach us what we need to know, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.